Take it from me, you guys are not going to want to miss the party of the summer. It's Rocklahoma, it's back in Pryor, Labor Day weekend, September 1st through 3rd, and it's going to feature acts like Warrant, LA Guns, Bullet Boys, Godsmack, Chevelle, Daughtry, Skid Row, Limp Bizkit, Bush, Theory of a Dead Man, Asking Alexandria, Kix, Pantera, Rob Zombie, Corey Taylor, and many, many more. Go to rocklahoma.com right now to get your weekend passes and keep listening to On the Road to Rock with me, Clint Switzer, to learn how you can win two weekend passes for the whole weekend of Rocklahoma. Stay tuned.
What's up, everybody? It's John Bush from Armored Saints sitting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You are on the road to rock.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, leading you down the highway to hell, Clint Switzer.
Welcome once again to On the Road to Rock. I'm your host, Clint Switzer. Thank you so much for being a part of everything we do as we start to hit the month of October. It's our last show in September, which means we are officially on to Halloween season, to spooky season, and your money stays in plays with On the Road to Rock all through the year. You know that. Just because the summer's over doesn't mean that we're not going to be rocking all through the rest of 2023, on into 2024. And we've got a big one today as George Lynch, Mr. Scary himself, is going to be joining us to talk about Lynch Mob's new album. It comes out October 20th. It's called Babylon. It is 10 electrifying tracks. If you've been following the band, you've seen some of the videos so far. You've seen Time After Time, the video that came out a few weeks ago and then Caught Up. So, you know what? I think this Lynch Mob album, especially now that they're really solidified at this point with their lineup and their singer, Gabriel Colon, which he is equal parts a throwback to classic Lynch Mob sounding, kind of that Robert Mason, Oney Logan, like kind of intermix between the two, and gives it his own vibe, which is very important. Lynch Mob, George Lynch, always doing projects. He's got The End Machine with Jeff Pilson. He and Jeff Pilson just released a covers album. He has an instrumental album called Guitars at the End of the World that has just come out. He is so prolific. We're going to talk to him about why he's so prolific, how he gets involved in all these projects, what he's got coming up. Lynch Mob has been playing shows with Dokken, what it's like getting up and playing shows with Don, and maybe get into some old Dokken stuff. What's his favorite Dokken video? Mine, and the reason I discovered Dokken as a very little kid, was that video for Dream Warriors, the song from The Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 3. Dream Warriors, just the melding of those two things, this heavy metal band, this hard rock band playing this killer song in the middle of this movie and the imagery, and then you have the video, which features Freddy Krueger. We're going to talk to George about the video. He's got a story that has to be heard to be believed. Now, we want to thank those that are also watching on YouTube. You can check out this interview. 99% of the interviews that we do, guys, are available on our YouTube channel, which is Starcade Media. That is the name of the media company, the larger umbrella to which we fall under. We do have a website, starcademedia.com, interviews, a lot of breaking sports news, podcasts. It's all there, Starcade Media on YouTube, starcademedia.com. Of course, you can always get us, specifically if you're looking for On the Road to Rock, on our Instagram or Twitter, our Facebook. Just search for On the Road to Rock, and you can put in your feedback if you want to hear a guest. If you liked a show, if you didn't like a show, you can always hit us up, roadtorockpodcast@gmail.com. But to have George back on the show, I think it's been about 7 years since we had George on the show last, and always been one of my favorite guitarists. Dokken's always been a band that's been instrumental and important for me. It has now been a few years since I've seen Dokken live. I think it was back in 2017, but George, when he's out on tour, doing a lot of dates with Lynch Mob, and go check out those dates right now at georgelynch.com. You can see where Lynch Mob is heading, and Sometimes they play shows with Dokken, and sometimes, just sometimes, George will get up and do kind of an encore, three or four songs and jam with Dokken, which is always a treat for the fans, because when you think of Dokken, you think about just the original band, you know, Wild Mick Brown, Jeff Pilson, George Lynch, Don Dokken, the magic was there. And sure, you know, Don Dokken at age 70, his voice doesn't sound the same as it did when he was 30 years old. I try not to judge that as much. He gets a lot of hate online for that. But I just love the fact that the bands like Dokken are still out there killing it, doing what they do, and that music's got to stay alive forever. And so George Lynch out there doing a bunch of the dates and getting his projects out there. And there are many. He did another thing over the summer with Sweet and Lynch with Michael Sweet, which is always great to have those two paired up. So George must be a pretty affable, pretty easy to work with guy, because he's worked with everyone and he's done so much. Especially lately, so productive, and we give him props for that. So without further ado, we're coming right up. It's going to be Mr. Scary himself, George Lynch of Lynch Mob. Well, good morning, George. Look at you there. How's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
Well, good morning. I guess I didn't have George Lynch with his tiger guitar there to start my morning. I didn't have that on my bingo card, and I'm just a little overwhelmed. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's totally crazy.
Well, welcome to On the Road to Rock, George. As if there isn't a such thing as a busy time for you, we are definitely involved in one currently. So Lynch Mob's out on tour. You've been doing dates all summer long. How have the shows been so far? What's it been like?
Shows are always great. It's just not all that in between time that sucks.
Right. Well, that's what we're here for. George, we're trying to at least entertain you a little bit. I don't know if I can do it, but we'll give it our best shot. What's that?
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, I'm on it. You guys just released a video, Lynch Mob, Caught Up. Great video, great song. How much say or creativity kind of do you have when it comes to the videos that you guys release?
Well, that's a lyric video.
Correct.
So I'd do with that they just, the label generated that.
Right. And,
it's a lyric video. What do you, so it looks fine. It's just something to bring awareness to the song, the record, the Babylon album. And, but the video before that, I did have, some involvement, obviously, where the whole band did. Time After Time. That was an actual video that we did.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, some people like to have, be all in on the whole process. And even if you're not like behind a green screen doing it, like to be involved in every little detail. So I didn't know if you were like that.
No, in anything to do with the whole process of being in a band, I have as much involvement as I need to have.
Yeah.
I feel like if I didn't really have anything to say or anything to add, I keep my mouth shut, basically. And people that do things better than me at certain things. So obviously, I don't have my hands in everything, but where it matters, if I think I can make a difference, I'll exercise an opinion. As in regards to that video, Time After Time, that was really the brainchild of Devix. Zell directed the video, so he was completely in charge, and it was his vision and so forth. So Devix is, I worked with Devix in another project called The Banishment. He's the singer in The Banishment. And he also did the Banishment video. And I thought that was a freaking phenomenal video that he did for the Banishment. So we hired him to do the Lynch Mob video, which is interesting because he doesn't come from that kind of music at all. You know, the Lynch Mob 80s, anything like that, that's not his world. He's more industrial, real kind of underground stuff. So when we did this video and it ended up being sort of campy and sort of it really has an 80s vibe to it.
Yeah.
And he's a younger guy, so I was like, man, where's this coming from? Because I think that's creepy, because, you know, I went through the 80s and I don't want to do 80s stuff. But younger people think it's cool, I guess. So I guess it's, I don't even know what to think of the video. I guess it's good. I know I don't like when they ask you to act.
Yeah, too far.
You know, like, oh, act surprised. And go grab that guy by the lapels and shake him and then run away.
Make a volcano erupt.
Yeah.
I mean, been there, done that.
I mean, you know, having a look on your face and look, I'm not freaking Robert De Niro, dude. I'm not that stuff.
Yeah. Well,
I'll just, how about that?
That is great. Well, Frontiers in general seems to do such a tremendous job with these releases, with getting the videos out there, with bringing just recognition to the album. It seems to all go in sync. I mean, you do a lot of projects with Frontiers. I think you and Jeff Pilson sort of compete to, you know, along with Todd Kearns, to see who can pump out the most tremendous content on Frontiers. But what's like the relationship like with them, and how important it is, because they, you know, whether it be veteran acts, bands that are kind of put together, or just organic groups. I mean, they really do a great job with this content.
Well, that's the music that they love.
Right.
I don't know if that's a good business move. That's beyond me. But probably is, because I guess they say, if you're going to be in business, do what you know and do what you love. So that's what they do. They love that era of music, that style of music. You know, that gives bands like us and from that era an opportunity to continue to make music and connect with their fans. So that's a wonderful conduit to have. You know, there's not a whole lot of labels like that. Rat Pack is another one. There's a couple more here and there. Silver Lining, I believe, in Europe. Ear Music, Germany. There's some labels in Japan and so forth. But, you know, they're few and far between. It's a different landscape now, obviously, than it was 30, 40 years ago when I was making, you know, records that were selling gold and platinum. So it's nice to have a home, you know, that you can depend on.
Well, the album is Babylon. It comes out October 20th, so just a few weeks away on it. Absolutely tremendous, George. 10 great tracks here. I want to talk about your singer there, Gabriel Colon, and just how important he is, because I think that his vocals really stand out on this album. His presence has definitely been felt across the tour dates and seeing the live stuff. So talk about the importance of adding him to the band, and just sort of how he fits into the Lynch Mob universe here.
Well, he changed the whole band. I mean, the complexion of the band changed when we got a new singer, obviously, unless, you know, you're getting a singer that mimicking an old singer, which he's not. So we got, you know, Gabriel's a new, fresh face, you know, whole different style of a singer than what, you know, we've had in the past. So that brought a whole new dimension and energy to the band and revitalized it in some ways. Because I think for many years, we not necessarily been chasing Wicked Sensation, but sort of captured by that, you know. So it's like, everything was related to that and compared to that. And you really can't compare it to that, because that was just an anomaly, you know, a thing that happened in a space and time and will never be repeated, you know. And it was a great, amazing record, but that was due to a whole bunch of series of events that are never going to be replicated. So so it was nice for Gabriel to come aboard and sort of rejig the whole machine, so to speak, you know. And so when we wrote, we weren't like really going after anything in particular, you know. I mean, we still want to write hooks, we still want to write good grooves and cool riffs, but, you know, it wasn't like, oh, we need another Wicked Sensation. So we just wrote whatever we felt like. We're like, we're just a band, you know, we're not really obligated to do anything in particular. And we just played like we play. And it was interesting when I finally heard, you know, you're working on the record and you're so close to it, you're not really, you're sort of a myopic and you don't really see the big picture until you can sit back, you know, like when it gets around mix time, you know, and so all the elements start coming together. And I go, wait a minute, this sounds more like Guns N' Roses than Lynch Mob.
Well, I didn't put that together, but I think that his voice is something that it kind of works twofold. It does give a bit of a throwback vibe in a way, but it's such its own entity and works so perfectly with your guitar and what the rest of the band is doing that it feels fresh and new. So if that was your goal, you certainly achieved it. And I think this album, I mean, first since 2017. So at what point did you kind of realize it's time to do a new Lynch Mob record? Was his involvement kind of the catalyst for this? Like, hey, we got the singer, we're ready to go. We got this lineup that we like. Was that kind of the impetus?
Yeah. He's been in the band for a while. Jaron's been in the band for a while. We've gelled. We've done a lot of shows together. We've tightened up and, you know, we go, well, this is a thing, you know, we need to let's document it, you know? And also, you know, since 2017, I did write another Lynch Mob record. I think around 2020 or something. I can't remember exactly, but I didn't write the right record. I wrote this record and then I sent it to all the singers, you know, one at a time. I sent it to Oni. He rejected it. He couldn't do much with it and shook his head. I don't know what to do with this. Then I sent it to Joe Retta, who I love. He's a great, you know, bluesy hard rock singer, unbelievable, you know, works with Trans-Siberian Orchestra and other things. He tried like hell. He couldn't really make it work either. And then I sent it to one other singer, Andrew Freeman.
Oh yeah. Great singer.
And he was just frustrated. He goes, I don't know what to do with this. He just wasn't working. I go, God damn, what did I do wrong? Wrote a shitty record or the wrong record. And then so I was ready to just shit can it. I did all that work and I was like, that's never happened to me before. And then I was talking to the label guy and he was like, you know, what about instrumentalizing it? Was that a thing? I go, I don't think so. I didn't write it for that. So I don't think that would. So I dismissed it just out of hand, but then I started thinking about it. We kept talking about it and he goes, well, just, you know what, take one song and give it a shot, see what happens, how about that? And I did, and it worked. So that ended up being the Seamless record, which is an instrument. Yeah. So that was something that I salvaged out of that Lynch Mob, what was supposed to be intended to be a Lynch Mob record. So I didn't intend to go 6 years without a Lynch Mob record. It just happened like that.
And now you have Guitars at the End of the World that's been released September 5th, back here in September, just a few weeks ago, via Rat Pack Records. So was that, feel like that was kind of a continuation, like that worked so well that, hey, let's do it again? Because this one follows right in that mold. Really good stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's the reception has been great. A lot of great reviews I've read, and it's George Lynch at his best. I don't know. Like, it's great stuff.
We had this brilliant idea. It's like, you're this like pseudo semi guitar hero, supposed guy. Maybe you should do guitar records. Like what? But you know, light bulb. It's like, what?
But it's not everybody's thing. Every guitarist, it's not for them necessarily. So
he had a great desire to do that. For some reason, I mean, you know, other guys do it so much better, you know, Steve Vai's and Satriani's of the world. I mean, I can't compete with that, and nor do I want to try to. I'm not that kind of guitar player. I'm a band guy, you know?
Yeah.
Bands, I like songs, and I like playing, you know, I like doing good solos within the context of a song, but other things, but I don't really feel like I'm that guy that needs to go prove that he's the world's greatest guitar player or I don't know. Instrumentals, I don't even like listening to instrumentals myself, so why would I want to make that record? But then I started working on it, and I did like it. I was like, well, this is pretty liberating because I can be the singer, you know, in a way, and the drummer.
That's kind of how John 5 does it. His guitar is the singer of his solo records, which is outstanding. Like, it's a great concept. I like it. It's good stuff. For you, how are you able to compartmentalize sort of your time with all these projects that you do, whether it be Sweet and Lynch, whether it be you and Jeff recording a covers album, which is tremendous, by the way. And The End Machine, and I think we had Jeff on recently, and he talked about that could be coming up another one. So how do you compartmentalize all this? Are you someone that just kind of has the voracious need to be working on something, or does this, you just kind of take whatever kind of comes at you? Like, how do you compartmentalize all this?
Well, I'm not very organized, and as you can tell with these interview schedules, which had me entirely confused, but
thanks, John Freeman.
Yeah.
Well, I love him.
Different publicists involved from different places in the world and different time zones speaking to each other. So yeah, it gets very conflicty, but anyways, we worked it out. But yeah, you know, I have a formula and sort of a way that I work, a process that works for me, that, you know, I built my own studio, which I love. You know, I got real frustrated going into studios over the decades and finding sometimes that I do my worst work in a big, expensive recording studio. Mm. Get my worst sounds and worst performances. And then I go home, play through my little amp, and I'm like, why the fuck couldn't I play like that at this point when it mattered? And I still haven't figured out. One of my theories is there's just too many miles of wire. And
that's
I need
a lot
some
of years.
So my studio, I have, you know, high quality stuff, just like any, you know, top guitar player, you know, tone guy would have. You know, I have the APIs and the Neves, and I have this and 1176s and all the good mics and the well-designed room and everything. But it's relatively small, but it's just very direct, you know, and very simple. And every time I sit down, I'm very happy with the tone, and I love that. I know I can depend on that. So I do all my work. Well, you know, 90% of my work I do in there. I really don't want to go outside my studio anymore because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what you're going to get. And that's caused me to be voraciously productive, just fighting it, the tone anymore. And so I'm just having fun with it. And then I find that I can write and record a song a day. So if, you know, day is a long time. You know, you get there 10 o'clock, you work till 5, maybe you have a little lunch break, maybe you don't. But you're sitting there in the saddle making music. What do you need, 3 parts? Why can't you do that in 8 hours?
If only I were that productive, George, we'd be on a whole different level. That is tremendous and so many good things coming up.
If you look at it like it's your job and you go to work, and you have to be productive, and you punch, you know, the time card, and then you got to go in the assembly line of the factory, and you got to do stuff and make stuff, or be a contractor and make stuff. I mean, you have to do stuff. You know, you got to have something to show at the end of the day for all the time you spend. So I look at it like that. It's like, well, if I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about it and I'm being productive, you know, I'm working on something, I should be able to knock out 3 fucking guitar parts in one day. I mean, that's not. You think about it, that's not that hard. I can think of harder things to do. So actually that works for me. It's actually pretty fun to have that kind of formula where, okay, that's my work day. You know, I get my lunch pail, my thermos, my wife gives me a kiss. I go off to the studio. I get there and then I got to make parts. It's super fun. And once I make the 3 parts, I get the dessert is I get to play the solo over those parts. That's really fun.
Absolutely. And there's so many great ones here on the new album, Babylon. Be on the lookout for it here on October 20th. George, I know Lynch Mob, you guys did a bunch of dates with Dokken. You go up there, you play with with Don from time to time. How much fun is that? The crowd just loves it. And is there a certain couple songs that you're like, hey, I want to do those? Or is it just sort of organic? Is it just sort of random? Like, hey, I'm here. We're playing a show together. I'll show up when I show up. Or are there certain songs that you're like, I want to do these?
Well, yeah, picking the songs would be a little political. It's not my band anymore, so I am a guest, so I can't really, I don't want to get into power plays of, oh, I want to play this song or that song. I can suggest something, and hopefully everybody, sure. But, they have their, Don and his guys, they have their set, that they do. They've been doing the same set for as long as anybody can remember, 20 years. So that doesn't change very much. So I don't want to throw a wrench in the gears. So but we've worked it out. The set moves around a little bit. But essentially, I do Tooth and Nail, When Heaven Comes Down, Unchain the Night. And then there's a third one. Sometimes I do
Breaking or.
No, I don't do Breaking the Chains. I could, but Lightning Strikes.
That's or, right.
What was there? Something else I do too.
Dream Warriors?
We jam. Yeah, that's what I like. That's my favorite thing. We haven't done it as much recently, but a lot of times I'll say, hey, Don, how about just, I'll throw something out there. And sometimes I won't even warn him. I'll just do it. And of course, of the crowd, you got to go along with it, right? And we just kind of do the writing process, but right on stage. So I'll just come up with something, and the band hopefully follows along. And it's simple enough where you can sort of anticipate the changes, and it's just maybe two parts, and just a couple minutes, But I love that part of the show when we do it, and because it's interesting, it's something different.
Well, George, before we get you out of here, you're actually heading to, I think, an interview next with my good friend Chuck Shute. Enjoy it. He's a great guy. I don't want to rob him of any time, so I'm going to get you out of here with a final four drum roll, four quick questions. I guess I could keep you a little while and overlap it and make him sweat it out and tell him you're not coming. We could do that. That'd be kind of mean to my friend Chuck. So first question, George, you grew up in Washington, kind of Spokane. I think you lived in Auburn for a while. My dad's from Renton, so right around there. Did you have a favorite sports team growing up, or do you have one now? Or do you not like sports at all?
Well, I'm not really a follower of sports. No, I mean, I'm physically active and I do stuff, mountain biking and weight training and hiking and
sure,
hacking and whatever other stuff. But I'm not really a sports guy, but I watch it casually,
Sure.
I didn't have a team or anything like that. I mean, obviously I'm, live in Los Angeles. So, the Dodgers or the Rams or whatever. The Rams were in LA at one time.
They're back.
Are they? I don't know.
Yeah, they are. You have to go to a game. You got the Rams and the Chargers now. Question two, you keep your hair long because of sort of, I always read that you were trying to get into rock. You're trying to audition for Ozzy, and you had a job to where that they made you keep your hair short. Do you keep your hair long because at a time in your life that it was got to have that corporate haircut, young man?
I keep it a little bit longer now just in case Ozzy calls back.
Exactly. Okay. That's right. Yeah. What was the,
what was ironic when he was complaining about my hair, is he actually came to my hotel room. We were in England or something. And he was, from what I can understand, he was hard to understand, but it was complaining about my haircut, but he was bald at the time.
Yeah. 82. Yeah.
So I told him I could shave the whole thing off and look like you. And I think that's when he got mad.
That might've done it. My God. Favorite Dokken video.
Ooh. Oh God, I don't know. I don't really have a favorite.
Or most fun that you had making one, or favorite.
They were, videos are very painful to make back then. They were, yeah. I don't know where, but you'd be there for a 22-hour day of just hurry up and wait. It was just, it was a drag. But I would say I would say if I'm looking at him in a like a way of like having good memories and being fun, I would say the first video was the one that's the most interesting and fun to watch, because I'm so far removed from it now that all the pain is kind of gone out. Just parts, and it's fun. And you can laugh at it. It's funny. So, you know, Don with his leg makeup and me busting out of the cave, but doing it at the wrong time. And then the person that was holding the camera's arm was getting burned because they couldn't move from the shot. Otherwise, they'd have to redo the whole thing. It was a 6-hour setup. Although I would say, actually, and then we do that lame jump off the drum riser and again, bad acting, you know, but the other one that I think was actually pretty memorable is the Dream Warriors one.
Yes.
I was all hopped up on cocaine with Freddy Krueger, who was in makeup, and we were in the dressing room together in the trailer doing a coke off of his knife blade hands with his scar face, which is surreal. And then I did so much coke I couldn't break through the breakaway wall, so we had to keep redoing that. That's why when the shot where I am breaking through it, I'm laughing, because this is something that they designed for, like, a 3-year-old child can break through it, and I couldn't break through it. And I was supposed to be like kind of the buff guy in the band or some shit. I don't know, whatever. Just getting a little coke. And then, and also the girl that was in the video kind of, I think we were sort of talking for a while and sort of, she expressed some interest, but I was so coked up, I don't think I'd go for it.
Patricia Arquette, your guitar solo, the look she had over her face. I wondered if you two ever connected, because in the video, her face lights up when George breaks away, starts playing the solo. That should have been a thing. Lived a dream.
To meet me, and I think I just met her briefly, but I think she expressing some interest tonight.
George, you're awesome. We got to get you out of here, man. I thank you so much for your time. Lynch Mob, Babylon, it's out October 20th. It's a tremendous album. A fan of everything you do, and appreciate the time, my friend. Good luck with the rest of the tour and the dates that you got coming up, man. Enjoy
you're
it.
Like a very professional interviewer, dude.
You think? To a fault or no? George, we met, this is from you, 2007, you did a guitar clinic. You're the first rocker I ever met. I'm only 39, man, so your type of music's for me. It set me off on a course, and now I get to talk to people like you. So thanks to you and the time at Funky Monkey Music in Shawnee Mission, Kansas, this podcast has happened. That's why I'm so professional. There's the story.
I remember that. All right, well,
thank you, George. You bet. Peace.